Tell the rest of the people to come on in. It's good to see you here. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house, the house he's provided for us to come each week and to worship and to praise him and study his word. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. It's amazing how many different messages can be communicated to us when someone calls our name. When we're growing up, our parents call our name. Sometimes it's done in a gentle, calm, loving manner. Sometimes it's done a little differently. When we go to school, the teachers call our name. And how they call our name can divulge a myriad of emotions, from delight to disgust, from reward to reproof. And the way Connie calls my name allows me to know if she's in a good mood or if I'm in big trouble. And I've been hearing my name a lot the past month being called. But today I want us to recall the first person to whom Jesus spoke after his resurrection. And in doing so, I think we shall discover what it meant for her to hear Jesus call her name. And more importantly, I want us to talk about what it means for us today when Jesus calls our name. Our text this morning is a portion of our text from last Sunday, Easter Sunday. It's found in the book of John, chapter 20, verses 14 through 17. And I invite you to follow along as I read from John chapter 20, verses 14 through 17. It's a section, a portion of Scripture with which you'll be very familiar. At this she turned. She is Mary Magdalene. At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father." May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. It is amazing that the first person to whom Jesus spoke on Easter morning after the resurrection is a common woman named Mary Magdalene. Now, very little is known about this lady. We do know that Jesus had driven seven demons from her, and as an appreciation for his healing in her life, Mary had become a follower of Jesus and financed his ministry while he was here. We also know that Mary was at the foot of the cross when Jesus spoke to his mother and to the apostle John. She was there when Jesus' body was taken off the cross, wrapped in linen, and laid in a tomb. And early on Easter morning, you recall, because you've heard this many times before, Mary went to the tomb of Jesus. And she saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance and that Jesus was no longer there. His body was not there. And she ran to tell Peter and John. And they both came back running ahead of her to the tomb, and they also saw that Jesus' body was not in the tomb. The disciples went back home after this occurred, but Mary stayed for a time to grieve, and she was crying, and she had a conversation with two angels that obviously she did not know they were angels. And after she spoke with them, she turned away and saw Jesus. But she did not realize to whom that this person who was standing in front of her, and even when he spoke to her, she did not realize it was Jesus' voice. And then Jesus said her name, Mary. Everything changed. Mary immediately recognized Jesus, and she went back to the disciples to share the good news. When Jesus called her name, it completely changed Mary's life forever. And Jesus is still in the business of calling names today. So for a few moments this morning, I want us to reflect on what it means when Jesus calls our name. How does it affect our life? By calling our name, Jesus confirms the resurrection. When Jesus called Mary's name, she immediately realized that he was alive. Because remember, 3 days before, Mary had stood at the foot of the cross. She had been there when the soldier stuck his spear in Jesus' side. She had been there when Jesus breathed his last breath. She had been there when he was taken down and wrapped in the linen. There was no doubt in Mary's mind that Jesus had died a physical death and was placed in a tomb with a large stone rolled in front of the entrance. So when Jesus called her name, it meant only one possibility to Mary. Jesus was alive. Jesus had rose from the grave. The resurrection of Jesus had been completed. And our text is clear that this was not the voice of a ghost, because Mary actually grabbed Jesus and he had to admonish her not to touch him. The resurrection of Jesus is undoubtedly the most important and pivotal event in human history. And what we believe regarding the resurrection of Jesus is the most important decision that we'll ever make in our life. In his letter to the church at Corinth, Paul wrote about the importance of the resurrection. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. When Jesus calls our name, he confirms the fact of the resurrection. It becomes a reality to us. And exactly how does Jesus accomplish this feat today? I don't know of anyone personally that claims that Jesus spoke their name, that they heard his voice call their name. I'm not saying there aren't people that maybe have had that experience, but I think it's not really an audible calling of our name as Jesus did to Mary. But I believe Jesus speaks our name today, and I am convinced now that Jesus is calling the name of some of you who are sitting here. He is doing it through his word as presented in this message, and through his Holy Spirit, God has been working to confirm in your mind the reality of the resurrection and to call your name. So when Jesus calls our name, it confirms the resurrection. Also, by calling our name, Jesus creates a new relationship with us. When Jesus called Mary's name, he created an entirely new relationship with her. You know, as I stated earlier, it's interesting that she was the first person to whom Jesus appeared and to whom Jesus spoke after his resurrection. She was a common woman, and when I mean common, I mean no one of any significance, no one of any title, no one who stood out in the community as being different or held up in esteem more than someone else. I don't believe that you and I maybe would have chosen that method. We probably would have wanted a big crowd. We probably would have wanted to appear before those who a few days earlier had cried, "Crucify him, crucify him." And we would love to have rubbed it in their faces that here we were alive again. I don't know that if we only were going to appear before one person, if we'd have chosen Mary. Maybe we'd have chosen Caiaphas, or maybe Pilate, or maybe Herod. I don't know if we were going to appear before one of our followers, one of our disciples, if it would have been Mary, or maybe it would have been Peter or John. Yet when Jesus appeared before Mary, he was making a very important statement. When Jesus called Mary's name, he was saying to everyone that each person has worth to him, no matter how well known they are, no matter what background they possess, no matter whether it's male or female, each person is of equal worth in the eyes of Jesus. Of course, in the eyes of the world, no one saw any significance in Mary's life. But in the eyes of Jesus, she was significant because she, like each and every one of us, was created to have a relationship with him. Jesus told Mary to let go of him. He was instructing her that the relationship they had would no longer exist, that she would no longer be able to experience his physical presence, but she would receive something better, a permanent relationship with Jesus and God the Father. When Jesus calls our name, it means he is calling us to a personal, intimate relationship with him. Perhaps some of you here this morning have never experienced the abundant life and joy which comes from having such a personal relationship with Jesus, with the risen Jesus, with the Jesus who is alive today. But the resurrection means that Jesus has made it possible for us, like Mary, to have a relationship with him. When Jesus calls our name, he confirms the reality of the resurrection. When Jesus calls our name, he is calling us for a brand new relationship with him. And yet, such a relationship does not happen automatically, because when Jesus calls our name, he demands an answer. When Jesus called Mary's name, she had to choose how to respond to him. She could have chosen to ignore Jesus. Oh, this is just a figment of my imagination. I'm hallucinating. For in my grief and in my sorrow, I'm seeing things. She could have ignored him. She could have doubted Jesus. You're not Jesus. I saw him die. certainly you can't be Jesus. Or she could have just rejected Jesus. However, Mary chose to embrace Jesus. She didn't understand everything that had occurred up until that point at that time, but she made a decision based upon what she knew to embrace Jesus and to continue to follow him. Mary believed that Jesus had indeed risen from the dead. So his death and his resurrection provided her with the ability to have a permanent, intimate, and personal relationship with him. This morning, Jesus is calling the names of some people here. And you can choose to ignore Jesus. You can choose to doubt Jesus. You can even choose to reject Jesus. But on this morning, you can also choose to embrace Jesus. And let me tell you what Jesus has to say about those who embrace him when he calls their name. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hands. This morning, Jesus invites you to listen to his voice as he calls your name. Jesus invites you to believe in the reality of the resurrection. Jesus invites you to enter into a new relationship with him. And yes, Jesus invites you to accept and respond to his voice and embrace him this morning. But before you respond, let me give you a word of caution. Choosing to embrace Jesus does not mean that all your problems are going to disappear, that all your aches and pains will miraculously go away. We live in a world of sin. And Jesus has told us that as long as we live in this world, we shall encounter problems. And choosing to embrace Jesus is not always easy. Certainly, here in this country, there's very little threat of being persecuted for believing in Jesus, but there can be ridicule. There can be ostracization of a person because they are a follower of Jesus. So it's not easy. It means you must truly be sorry for your sins and be willing to change your life in order to embrace Jesus. And if you would like to embrace him, then I ask you to think about coming forward to the altar this morning. All you need do is to come and say, "Thank you, God, for calling my name. Thank you, God, for the gift of your Son who died on the cross for my sins. Thank you for the resurrection of Jesus, demonstrating his power over death and allowing me to know that I would be serving a risen Savior. I confess that I'm a sinner. I am sorry for my sins. I ask you to forgive my sins based on Jesus' death on the cross." All you need to do is to come and say, "I am deciding today to embrace Jesus as Lord and Savior." We invite you to come as we sing a hymn of invitation, hymn number 294, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord," and again we invite you to